It is some disaster for any mind to hold any one thing for truth that is untrue, however insignificant it be, or however honestly it be held. It is a greater disaster when the false prejudice bars the way to some truth behind it, which, but for it, would find an entrance to the soul. And the greatness of the disaster will in this case be measured by the importance of the excluded truth. And this week's opening quote comes from Henry Liddon. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. One really must be careful when proclaiming the truth on any matter, folks, and one must be very careful of what they choose to believe along the way. As I've often said, belief is the enemy of knowledge, and when you choose to believe something, then you often block your mind off to other possibilities because they may conflict with your belief system. This is why it's so dangerous to lock yourself into any type of belief and realize that it's about the journey, it's about the path, and it's about the knowledge that is expanding and unfolding along the way. But there's always something new around the corner. You know, very often we think we've found all the answers, but then something else comes along. And if we've locked ourselves into a belief that we already know the truth, then we close ourselves off to whatever there is to come next. And we've got to be careful on how we focus on different aspects of the truth and different aspects of what we believe may be true. Looking at the recent Pizzagate scandal that's been unfolding, and this is still going viral right around the internet, it's been very interesting to see how the focus has shifted very much to the Comet Pizza Store. And bear in mind, folks, that the Comet Pizza Store, in the case of Pizzagate, is the most dubious connection of the whole lot. There are the most flimsy ties to this pizza store. There's simply some payments that were made to it, and the fact that this guy has visited the White House a couple of times, and a few photos on his Instagram. But people are forgetting how the ties to this pizza store even were found, and how they were found was through the Podesta emails. And what is important in this case is not the pizza store and whatever ties are being made to the pizza store, but the content of Podesta's emails. That is what is in question. That's what's led to this entire Pizzagate scandal unfolding. And that's where the focus really needs to be, because the emails indicate a link to pedophilia and to possibly child trafficking and possibly even a link to the disappearance of Madeleine McCann. But all of the attention has been focused over to the terrible flack and the terrible things that have been happening to Comet Pizza due to fake news that has presented it as a child trafficking organization. So you can see how the attention's been shifted, folks. Nobody knows that children are trafficked from Comet Pizza. There's been no proof that this happens. All there has been connections to this pizza store that have been made by the Podesta emails, and all of the focus has suddenly gone onto the pizza store, which creates a great story for the mainstream media to focus on, how this poor, hard-done little business is getting a hard time due to fake news, and gives them a great opportunity and great excuse to shut down the alternate media, the independent media, because of the undue attention it is bringing on this pizza store, when where the focus needs to be is on the Podesta emails, the connection to Madeleine McCann, the obvious pedophile jargon that is going on within these emails, and the fact that all of this indicates a very sophisticated child trafficking ring, or at least implicates Tony and John Podesta in child abuse, child trafficking, pedophilia, and very likely the abduction of Madeleine McCann. So you can see how the attention has been very, very well focused and very well shifted in this case onto the pizza store, and why it is so dangerous and detrimental for real research and real investigation to be focusing so much on the pizza store when really it's on the pedophilia and the Podesta emails that the attention should be focused. Now, focusing on the pizza store is simply shifting attention away from the Podesta emails and will effectively allow them to get off scot-free, because that's all the media is going to focus on, folks, is the damage that is being done to this pizza store. And that's why elements in the independent media, I believe, have brought the pizza store into such undue focus. This is not about the pizza store, folks. Any ties to the pizza store at this time are incidental and need to be proven. And though dubious and highly suggestive of something going on, these are the most flimsy of things to be focusing on when the content of the Podesta emails is really actually quite damning, as are the identikit pictures of the alleged abductors of Madeleine McCann, which match exactly Tony and John Podesta. This is all very damning, folks, and that's where the focus should be, not on the pizza store. The pizza store is a play to shift attention and to give the media a little football to throw around to demonstrate to the sleeping masses out there how irresponsible the independent media is to destroy this poor, struggling little business in Washington. You can see how they're going to play it, folks, so just watch out for the misdirection when researching and investigating and posting information regarding Pizzagate. And even saying that, though, I mean, not to undermine the significance of what has been discovered about James Alefantis, who runs the pizza store, and there are definitely some strange things about this place. The fact that a pizza store owner could be listed as the 49th most powerful man in Washington seems a little strange. The fact that the Comet Ping Pong Pizza website has a members section that is password protected and there are apparently zip files you can download from there seems quite strange as well. There are a lot of questions that need to be asked to this pizza store owner, certainly not the type of questions we saw asked by the New York Times, but actual real questions that he should answer. But again, it shouldn't really be the center of focus, because what is important is where the information came from, which is from the Podesta emails. And it's the Podesta emails that really need to be the focal point, because by making the pizza store the focal point, you just get caught up in this whole media whitewash which is being created. And the media will spin this any way they want. And all they have to do is find one problem with the accusations that are made against the pizza store to be able to cause most of the people who are looking at this to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And look, there have been thousands of independent researchers, quite literally, folks, thousands of people that have been looking into Pizzagate. And we've really got to hand it to these people on doing a great job. There has been some great investigation that's gone on that's exposed all of this stuff. But looking at it realistically, there's also been a certain degree of quite irresponsible reporting that's gone on within this sphere as well. For example, the so-called kill room, this steel or concrete room that we see depicted in pictures that one of the pizza people or something had on their Instagram. There's no real indication that this room is actually part of the Comet Pizza facility. This room could be anywhere. We don't know. People who've been saying that this is all part of some underground facility, this is quite irresponsible. We need to see who posted that photograph, and we need to find where that room is located so the walls and floor of that room can be analyzed if they're not already cleaned down with the bleach now as we speak, simply because people have posted it so much. But you can't claim that this room is underneath the pizza store without proof that that's where it is. So things like that, folks. People have been a little irresponsible in the way they've been tying things together, when really it's the content of the Podesta emails and what these emails indicate, because there has been so much research gone into this child trafficking ring that exists within government at the highest circles. And we see what's recently unfolded in Europe. We saw a massive pedophile ring involving 51 people. A whole bunch of police officers and all sorts of high-ranking officials were involved. We've seen these types of things been reported through England. We've seen these types of things been reported through Australia and through the United States for many years. It's figuring out how they do it and who's involved. And that's what the Podesta emails have the potential to blow the lid off. But the undue attention that has been put on the pizza store has the potential to actually destroy all of the investigation, because the pizza store should not be the attention of focus. But there really has been a very concerted and very noticeable attempt to ensure that the pizza store is the center of focus. And of course, many people are simply jumping down the rabbit hole. It's very easy for them to do that, because the pizza store is something that they can get to. It's hands on. They can actually ring it up. They can go and abuse it. They can stand at the front with a picket sign. They can do whatever they want. They can actually get there. It's not like the hidden mechanism of government or Podesta, who they can't get to. So it becomes a very easy target. But it's a program target, and you're doing exactly what the media wants you to do by attacking James Alefantis and protesting or attacking or belittling this pizza store. For example, there was a post that I saw on Facebook yesterday that said, Comet Pizza, burn it to the ground. And all these people chiming in saying, yeah, burn it to the ground. Let's go and get this place. This is exactly what the media wants you to be posting. I mean, this post was obviously made to focus on the pizza store when that should not be the center of attention. It's a play, folks, and it's so important to see how a psyop has been injected into this, and it is the perfect thing to use. It's the perfect topic to inject a psyop into, especially when by running this the right way and playing it the right way, they can actually protect the pedophiles that the Podesta emails are exposing. And really been laughing in our faces, folks, as all the sleeping masses throw all the pedophile information out with all the misinformation they're receiving about the pizza shop. They'll really be laughing all the way to the child molestation factory if they're able to pull off this hoodwink, folks. So you've really got to watch for misdirection in these types of cases, folks. This is what the media wants. They will misdirect you to focus on the pizza store, and they will also be focusing on the fact that the release of the emails constitutes a breach of national security, and that the real problem here is that people dare to undermine US security by releasing classified information. It's not about that, folks, because the release of this information is the reporting of a crime. And when it is the government and members within the government that are carrying out these crimes and they're hiding this information under the guise and under the cloak of national security, then we need to really re-examine what national security really is and what the nation really is, because the nation is the people, and the people can never be secure if the government is corrupt. So there needs to be transparency in government. This isn't about protecting US national security. It's about exposing the corruption that exists within the corridors of power. And it's not just within the United States, folks, as we've discussed so extensively. It's all over the world, this corruption. This people farming is going on in every country on earth. You know, really, when you look at it, folks, each country is kind of like a livestock pen in which people are controlled and sometimes harvested. And people are beginning to wake up to this fact now, but this Pizzagate scandal has the potential to do a lot of damage to the system, but it's how it's going to be played and how it is being played that people have to watch. This is why all of the focus has been placed onto the pizza shop, when it's really not about that. You know, all the world is a stage, folks, and all of these things are very carefully managed. Any type of government corruption that we see exposed is always very carefully managed, and attention is always shifted away from the root core of the problem to some little side issue which is blown up out of proportion and made to seem like what the issue is really all about. Like I've said, how they will shift attention from the content of the emails to the fact that the release of them constitutes a breach of national security. How they will shift attention away from the fact that the Podesta brothers can be implicated in the disappearance of Madeleine McCann to the pizza shop and make that the focal point. So this is the way they do it, folks. It's always very cleverly played, and the people need to watch how they are being led and make sure they still continue to focus on the correct issue and on the root core of the problem, which isn't the pizza shop or national security. It's the content of the emails. These emails really do have the potential to blow the lid off this entire global pedophile network. And it's a really shocking thing for people to admit that this actually exists, a global pedophile network that is basically farming this species. But this is what's going on, and it's been going on for a really long time. You know, when you really sit back and think about it, it's very confronting information to think that the world and all of the highest levels of what controls this world, looking at the highest levels of politics, the highest levels of law enforcement, the highest levels of religious institutions, the highest levels of monarchy, you find that all of these people are involved in pedophilia. There's been hints of this for many, many years. These are always presented as scandals. Of course, if you or I were to carry out any of these activities, it would be reported as a crime, but because it's the ruling class that are carrying it out, then it's always presented as a scandal. See, they trick you again with word magic, folks. The recent scandal we saw with Prince Andrew a few years ago, where he was involved in underage prostitution and sex trafficking. The scandal of Jimmy Savile and his involvement with the royal family. The scandal of Jerry Epstein and the fact that the Clintons and everyone's visited his pedophile island so many times. The fact that Jerry Epstein's island had cameras in all of the rooms, and this is how they used to get dirt on all the politicians to blackmail them, by getting them on video, having sex with minors or whatever. You know, this whole ring exists. We've just seen in Norway recently, 51 people involved in a pedophile ring carrying out the most atrocious abuses against children and getting it on video, and finally there are police officers and all sorts of high-ranking officials involved in this. And there's also been hints of this ring existing in Australia, in all sorts of countries around the world, folks. So it's recognizing that this is what's happening, that this group of elitist pedophiles is who has maneuvered themselves into positions of power in this world, and they are basically harvesting the population. What happens to all the children that are kidnapped in Palestine? Israel has been kidnapping 5 Palestinian children every day for the last 48 years. Where do these children go, folks? All of the children that were being smuggled out of Haiti, the woman who was smuggling them out was shown to have ties to child trafficking. How did she not get charged and let out of jail so quickly? It was because the Clintons helped her to get out of jail. The Clintons have very close ties with these people. So just how many children are being trafficked around the world, folks, and what is really going on behind the scenes? You know, it's a lot worse and a lot more ingrained than people would care to believe. And the reason that it continues and the reason that it exists and is allowed to magnify the way it does is because people simply won't look at it. You know, people's choice to ignore that which is going on all around them because it makes them feel bad to look at it. Now, even when you look at child trafficking and pedophilia videos, I mean, I've looked at them, folks, videos like Conspiracy of Silence, which I've had featured on the Crow House for many years now in the recommended viewing section. This is a banned documentary from 1994, which shows what's going on. And even watching this documentary, they are very, very hard to watch, these documentaries. It's very, very difficult to sit down and watch a report on pedophile activity because it makes you feel so uncomfortable. It makes you feel dirty. It makes you feel like you need to go and have a shower after you've watched it. It's just damaging to the soul to even look at what these people do, but it must be faced. It must be faced because until it is faced, it's not going to be healed. There's not going to be any way to stop these people from harvesting the human race until we realize what's going on and we are prepared to admit and acknowledge what's going on and stand up against it in the way that we can and what ways we can. But the most difficult thing with this topic is getting the information into the minds of the public. You know, spreading it is hard enough. Just to get them to look at it and get them to listen and acknowledge that it's happening is hard enough. But getting them to actually look at the reports and look at the information is almost impossible because of the dirtiness that it invokes within your mind and the dirtiness of the soul that you feel after even looking at the acts and even acknowledging what these people get up to. To even speak of it makes you feel uncomfortable, makes you feel dirty is the only way I can explain it. It makes you feel unclean. But this is what's running the world, folks. This is what these people get up to. This is the energy that these people are in, and this is who we are allowing to control us through their rule books that they write. And all these rule books are for, you know, the law that's in place at the moment, folks, most of the laws that are in place, I mean, sure, there's some there that are designed to protect you against theft or whatever, but most of the laws that are in place are put there to control you and to prevent you from ever having access to what sits behind the veil. You know, you never have access to what the politicians do, where they go, the things they get up to, all these secret societies. There's all sorts of secrecy that's put in place via the legal system, and that's its main purpose. You know, we think it's there to protect us. It's not there to protect us. It's there to control us and constrain us and offer us some modicum of remedy from certain transgressions which may come against us from other members of the pen, but ultimately it's there to protect those who sit above the whole thing and those who write the books and those who write the rules down. That's what the legal system's for, not to protect you, but to control you and to protect the politicians and those who control the politicians. As I said on the show last week, Black's Law is not really a book of law. It's really a grimoire. It's a book of spells. It's how they control you and how they get you with mind control through word magic by your belief that you must do what is written down in these spells. But it's all fiction, folks. It's all mind control and it's all word magic. Word magic is really how they do it all, folks. Word magic is how the media baffles you with misdirection, causes you to look in the other direction from where you really should be looking, and causes you to think thoughts that aren't really your own. It's all done through word magic and through mind control, neuro-linguistic programming, and all of the methods that they learn in Yale and the Tavistock Institute and all these places that really run things, folks. But ultimately, it's all word magic. It's just recognizing that fact and learning how to find your way through it and learning what the words that you're speaking really mean. That really does make a big difference, folks. That's a problem with English, is that most people just apply surface meanings to English, everyday meanings to English. They don't realize what the language really means and what they're actually saying. Many people speak common words in English and really don't know what the words mean. But a really interesting thing you can do is go to sites like etymology.com and look up the etymology of the words you're using and find out what they really mean. It's a very educational thing to do, and trust me, the realization of what many of these words actually mean and the true understanding of what you're actually saying in everyday conversations is very surprising for most people and can be very revealing in helping you understand exactly how you are controlled by words. And I'm probably getting off topic a little bit with this, but just go and look up words such as individual. A lot of people think this means to be someone who is unique, but really it comes from the word indivisible, which means you are simply one peg in the massive porridge of human population, and you are indivisible to anybody else. Therefore, you are not unique at all. You are indivisible from the masses. That's what the word individual means. If you look up the word nice, that's a good one. They're always telling us to be nice. If you look up the origins of the word nice, it comes from the Latin nescere, which means to be ignorant. Later in Middle French, it was stupid and uninformed. So basically, to be nice is to be ignorant, stupid, and uninformed, and just be quiet and don't rock the boat and just be nice. Well, folks, I don't think we should be nice, and I think we really should begin to really comprehend the language that we are speaking. But as I said, I'm probably getting a little off topic with that, but etymology is a very interesting subject and something that I do recommend people investigate. But folks, this whole Pizzagate thing is very, very carefully being orchestrated. The way attention is being shifted onto the pizza store, as I said earlier, there are many people who are attacking the pizza store, and the pizza store should not be the focus of attention. Attacking the pizza store will achieve two very predictable outcomes. One, it will achieve the censoring of the independent media, and we'll see the introduction of massive internet restrictions and mean the end of the internet as we know it. And two, it will result in all of the sleeping masses out there being convinced that there was really nothing to any of this pedophile investigation, and they will all throw the real and factual pedophile information out with the bathwater when they throw out the attacks against a small business. That's how it will be played. It will allow the pedophiles to get off scot-free and to be laughing while they do it, because they just pulled off a hoodwink right in front of everybody's faces. They exposed themselves to the world and then convinced everybody not to believe it, simply due to the attacks upon a small business. You know, at this point, all they really have to do is go and assassinate an Elefantis and members of his family or a couple of his friends or even just him by himself. Just go and blow his head off in his apartment, claim that it was suicide, and then the mainstream media will have a field day of how a small business owner was driven to suicide due to fake news, and then you can say goodbye to the internet as we know it. And not only that, but it will allow the pedophiles who are running this world to expand their harvest, and make it even more obvious and people won't do anything about it because no one will believe it. Because I just look at it and I go, oh, that's that Pizzagate thing again. We already proved that this isn't happening. And how preposterous that you could think these upstanding politicians, these people we employ to keep us safe, these people who are fighting these wars in our name and keeping us all safe from terrorisms, how preposterous that you could think these people would have a bad or dangerous bone in their body. How preposterous for you to think that they could be hurting us in any way. That's what will happen, folks, if people do not shift focus back to where it should be, which is the content of the Podesta emails, the pedophile ring that these emails expose, and all of the information we've gathered all around the world for so many years proving this pedophile ring exists. We can actually link it now with these emails. We can see through the release of the Podesta emails how necessary it is for politicians' emails to be open to scrutiny, how it is so necessary for us to have transparency in government, because we cannot allow this situation to continue. And if we play things the right way, we can move in that direction. We can move towards exposing this entire sick circle of cacistocracy that runs this world. But if we continue to focus on the pizza store, it's all going to go away, folks. The pizza store's a play, and it's been put there as a play. And unfortunately, people are buying right into it. All the world is a stage, ladies and gentlemen. When a leak like this comes out, which is such a revealing leak, then it needs to be managed and micromanaged. And the most important thing to do with this leak is to shift attention away from the actual leak itself to a side issue. And that's what they've done with the introduction of the pizza store. Sure, there's connections to this pizza store, but the fervor that's been whipped up around it and making that the center of focus is exactly what the mainstream media wants people to do, because that gives them the tool that they need to implement their counter-narrative and introduce their anti-script to what is really going on. So people need to be very, very careful of how they're being played. But I think we've reached break time here, folks, so I'm going to have to leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the Yes Today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, so Pizzagate is an interesting phenomenon, but it's important that people see how it's controlled and how it's being played, because Pizzagate has the potential to either expose the system once and for all and free humanity, or the potential to completely lock humanity down and prevent all the sleeping masses from ever lifting back the veil and looking at the workings of the machine again. It really has the potential to go either way. It's just how it's going to be played. And people have to understand how these leaks are managed and how much is really involved in all this. Even with the link with the Podesta brothers and Madeleine McCann, you know, the Identikit pictures, they match up so dramatically that you have to wonder whether they're real. You have to wonder how, when there was only reported to be one abductor of Madeleine McCann, cited by two different witnesses, how the two different witnesses could come up with such completely different descriptions of the perpetrator, and why each of the two descriptions, when you put them together, happen to look exactly like the Podesta brothers. So you've got to wonder whether this is planted misinformation that's been planted by, I don't know, FBI sources or some forces within law enforcement that has been used to gain leverage over the Podesta brothers, whether there is actually truth to the matter and truth that they can be placed in Portugal at the time of Madeleine McCann's disappearance. So there's a lot of stuff to look at when investigating this, folks. There's a lot of ways that we're being played, and it's really important that people step back and look at things objectively and be careful what they believe. And be careful not to allow that belief to block out something else that might be right in their face. Something that they're refusing to see simply because of the belief they've already adopted. It's very important to remain objective when looking at all of this, folks, because this is a huge potential, but again, it could go either way. It could be highly beneficial for freedom, or it could be highly detrimental and end up in severe internet restrictions and a severe curtailing of free speech. So we've really got to watch how we're being played. You know, the real problem here is that people simply don't understand the scope of what they're dealing with. They really don't. They think that this is about a pizza store. And it's not about a pizza store. It's not even about the fact that Podesta has been touching up children. It's the fact that there is a global pedophile ring that is running this world. This is just the tip of the iceberg. But focusing on the pizza store is just a ridiculous thing to do, and it's exactly what the media wants people to do. And people need to step back and really look at this and realize that it's what's going on behind the scenes which is more important. It's the mechanism that exists behind the government, behind the banking system, behind everything that we see as society, and who runs this system and what's really going on. That's what's important, and that's what this has the potential to expose if people can get their focus back to the right point and realize that it's not about the pizza store. You know, people are so played. They really are. In all of the information that's brought them, people are led down rabbit holes and led down the garden path and always kept distracted and not ever really looking at the root core of the problem. And the media is very, very clever at doing this. There's also elements within the independent media that are also very clever at doing this. You know, a lot of the independent media is controlled, folks. And even looking at some of the Pizzagate information, you know, what we've seen recently with the disappearance of Julian Assange, I mean, it seems pretty obvious that Assange has been nabbed. They've got him. They've taken him somewhere. You've got to look at the timing of the release of this Pizzagate information as well. Is the Pizzagate information actually being released by legitimate WikiLeaks sources? Or was it released after WikiLeaks was compromised? Because WikiLeaks appears to have been compromised. With Assange disappeared, it's very important that people realize that the information coming from WikiLeaks now may well be controlled leaks. But again, the question of where is Julian Assange must be asked. It is kind of sobering to see someone who had such a high public profile and seemed to have so much support from people around the world, named Man of the Year, all sorts of stuff, can suddenly disappear and no one bats an eyelid. No one makes a public outcry. In the last month, there's been no proof of life that's been offered by anyone from the establishment. And it all seems very concerning. No one seems to be making any noise. It seems very sobering that someone of Assange's profile could simply be snatched away and no one seems to care. Certainly doesn't bode a good future for the rest of us anyway. The freaky thing about the whole Assange WikiLeaks situation is how someone who is reporting crimes such as WikiLeaks is doing can be charged for a crime, for reporting these crimes, simply because of the mechanism of national security they put in place. Again, the word magic, the spells that they write down, which are done, and you can see, obviously, via WikiLeaks and via the fact that Julian Assange has been viewed as a criminal for reporting crimes, you can see that the laws have been put in place to protect the criminals who write the laws. That is the main purpose of the legal system. It isn't to afford any protection for the man on the street. It's to provide a cloak of secrecy over the actions of the pedophiles and criminals who run the system. And the fact that anyone who speaks out against this system is charged with espionage or crimes or whatever shows just how convoluted the system is. Shows just how stupid the order followers are as well. I mean, these order followers, folks, who go and arrest people like Assange. I mean, really, you can blame the Prime Minister, you can blame the British government or whatever for the arrest of Julian Assange, but ultimately it's the blockheads with the uniforms on who went there and arrested him who are the real problem. These people are terminally stupid who simply spend their life supporting their own slavery. And that is such a strange thing for people to do. You know, it's the weirdest thing when looking at this system, folks, is realizing that the ones who control the people within the system are the other people, the ones who believe the orders are real. You know, you've got some guy sitting in an office somewhere who believes he can control other people because someone wrote it down on paper that he can do it. And they do it, and they believe in it, and they think that this is all right and real, and they're doing the right thing. And they get all hoity-toity about it. You know, if someone tries to step outside their rules and they've got a chance to squash someone else's life, they actually enjoy doing it because it makes them feel better about themselves. And this is what happens when you take everybody's rights away and you squash human consciousness into a box. Then you start giving little bits of authority to certain people within there, and they will start harvesting as much energy as they can from other people, because that alleviates the pain that they're feeling, and that gives them access to other people's energy. They get to step on people and make themselves feel a little bit better about it. Unfortunately, this is the way human nature goes when you put people in a state of scarcity and competition, which is exactly what this monetary and social system is designed to do. You know, if we live in a state of cooperation, none of this would be happening. But it's because we're forced to live in a state of scarcity and competition that we constantly are at each other's throats and trying to climb to the top of the pile. And that's really all a lot of people do with their lives, folks, is they try to climb to the top of the pile or get at least some large pile that they can sit on top of and proclaim themselves king of their pile. You know, but when they get to the near the end of their lives, they start looking back and thinking, what was it all for? Now I've got all this stuff that I don't need. What does it mean? You know, I spent my life in the accumulation of stuff, which I can't take with me. So what was it all for? What was the point of it? You know, gaining social standing or social status or presenting myself as being more worthwhile than other people because I have more stuff than them. But what about me? What about who I am? What about my artistic contribution to this creation? What about the legacy I leave behind? What breadcrumbs did I leave for myself? How did I improve reality by my presence in it? How did I really live my life and express myself? What knowledge did I gain? What friends did I make? Who did I help along the way? That's really what it's about, folks. It's not about accumulating stuff, you know, but we're caught in this washing machine when we're young. You know, we go through the education system, we come out of school, we believe we have to get an education, we have to do this, we have to do that. We've got to get all these certificates, we've got to get letters after our name, and oh my God, anything we do in school, any bad thing is going to be a black mark against our name, which is going to prevent us from ever achieving anything in the workforce. And we believe we have to be part of the workforce. We can't ever just express ourselves and live our lives because we, of course, have to pay to be alive. So we've got to do all this stuff that the system tells us we should do. Then we get to the end of it and we think, what was it all for? It was just a big control system. It was just running between the lines that other people wrote down and thinking that this is what our life had to be. Thinking that if we collect more stuff, then we're going to be somehow in a better position than other people. But it doesn't work that way. That's not what life is about at all. You know, and you get to a time where you realize that it's all been put there to keep us distracted. It's like watching movies, you know, we're watching the movie of our life. We're living the movie of our life, but we're living it according to someone else's parameters. It's like a game. We think we have to make our way through the maze and come out of the maze with a big pile of goodies at the end of it. But it's not like that. It's all a distraction. It's all a distraction from ourselves, and it's a distraction from ever really looking around to notice just how we are controlled. I mean, it's a complicated system, sure. When you look at it legally, you look at it socially, it's a complicated system, but ultimately when you get down to the nitty-gritty of the whole thing, how we are controlled more than anything is through our own lack of belief in our own personal power, our willingness to follow orders, our willingness to follow the dictates of other people. You know, we're kept occupied, we're kept distracted. You know, look at how a farm is run, folks. Look at how, if you've got a mouse in a cage, you give it little wheels to run on, you give it little toys to play with in order to keep it happy so it's comfortable in its captivity. And that's kind of what they've done with us. They've given us little things to play with, little toys and trinkets that we can buy, which will keep us occupied, keep us happy. And they've given us somewhere to live, a roof over our head, but they've made sure that we have to work very, very hard to maintain that little piece of shelter for ourselves so that we can actually survive in the world. We have to work very, very hard to do that. No other species on this earth has to work so hard just to ensure that it has a place to be. Most creatures just live where they're born. most tribes just live with their born. If you look back at the Vedic culture that used to exist many, many years ago, well, that we're told existed, this was a system where everybody was provided for in as much as they were given the means to provide for themselves. You know, if you were given a block of land and you were able to set that land up as a food forest in your school years, then you'd be free to live your life any way you wanted. And there'd be no reason for you to go and invade anybody else's country or steal anybody else's land because you had all the stuff you need there. You know, we'd have a cooperative society, but everything about this society is designed to make sure we cannot cooperate with each other. It's not profitable for us to cooperate with each other. So we're constantly distracted and we're never really given the time to look around and see what's really going on. But what's really going on, folks, is that this is a farm. It's a people farm. You're being harvested in many, many ways. You're being energetically harvested. Your whole life is being harvested. How many people live their life doing exactly what they want to do? They may believe they're doing what they want to do, but really they're not. They're doing what they've been trained to do. They've found a way through the system where they're able to accumulate wealth so then they can go out to the designated fun areas and enjoy the world. But everywhere you go now, it's the same as everywhere else. Now look, I've probably gone right off topic with all of this, but the thing is, folks, is that it's a people farm. That's really what's going on here. And the harvesting that is going on behind the scenes is really what's most important. But it's people's failure to look there, people's refusal to look there, people's refusal to face the shadow that allows this harvest to continue. And it's the distracted state that they're kept in. And the way they always just choose the designated fun areas. No one wants to step outside of the safe zone. And the reason they choose the designated fun areas is because they need paper. They need to pay to go everywhere they want to go. They need paper to do anything they want to do. And so they go to places where they will be able to spend their money in enjoyable ways. They don't ever really look at this whole thing from a human perspective and look behind the scenes to see what's really going on. You know, this constant state of distraction has been a real problem. But with this whole Pizzagate issue, now that we're seeing the workings that are being exposed behind it, people may see the need to change things. But again, you've got to be very careful how this is being played, folks, because if they manage to pull off this hoodwink and get people to simply focus on the pizza store, and again, this is done through people's disconnected state. People, you know, you get people in society and you take all their rights away from them. And they will lash out at anything they can get their hands on if they think they've got something to point the finger at. And the pizza store is a perfect thing. It's right there, hands on the ground, something they can get to. It's such a good play for the powers that be to do this. You know, if they can distract attention to the pizza store, then they can lock this whole thing down, folks. They can lock down dissent. They can close the minds of the public to the concept that there may even be this pedophile ring, which we know exists behind the scenes. You know, the human harvest that happens on this planet is massive, folks. It really is. People have no idea how many people are just missing, how many children just go missing. Now, there's been reports of hundreds of people missing in Virginia, hundreds of children missing in Virginia. This is just the tip of the iceberg, folks. Most of the children that get used in these rituals come from overseas. Most of them are trafficked. Most of them are from the deprived populations. You'll get them from the most underprivileged populations in all of your countries, in most countries, and even the most underprivileged countries. This is why they go and marginalize so many countries, because when you marginalize a country and reduce the people in that country to absolute poverty, sometimes they're willing to sell their children. They'll sell their children because sometimes they think they're even going to a better life. They don't realize what's actually being done with these children. But sometimes it's just easy to steal kids from these sort of societies as well, folks. So you've got to look at how it's all played. But the dangerous thing about this Pizzagate issue is that it has the means to expose the whole lot of them, but it also provides the means for the system to shut down all dissent. And that's why we have to be so careful about how we're being played. And that's why it is so important for people to stop attacking the pizza store. You know, why is all the attention being focused there? Where are the Podesta brothers? Why isn't John Podesta coming public and answering a few questions? Why aren't questions being directed towards John Podesta? Why aren't questions being directed towards Hillary Clinton? Why aren't questions being directed towards Barack Obama as to what the $65,000 worth of pizza and hot dogs was all about? Why isn't this question being directed at John Podesta? Where is John Podesta? He seems to have disappeared almost as completely as Julian Assange. Why aren't these questions being asked? It's really important that people realize that this is where the focus needs to be. You know, what has brought this whole situation about is the emails of John Podesta. And that is the root core of the issue, and that is where the attention needs to be focused. You know, the problem is that people are so easily led, and people so want their ideas to be right. They want to see an opening. They want to see light at the end of the tunnel. They want to latch on to anything they believe may bring them to safety. And there's a propensity to really jump in there head first and not really examine things properly. And we really do need to examine things properly. You know, the awakening that we've seen on the earth has really only been a partial awakening. You know, a lot of people have woken up to the fact that the system's there. They've woken up to the fact that they're controlled. They've woken up to the fact that it's all criminal. Everything's terribly wrong. But it's so convoluted, and there's so many order followers that work within the system that just can't see it and will continue to follow orders. And it's so difficult for people to see any way out. Do they just want to latch on to something like Pizzagate and hope that this is going to be it? And it could be. This could be what brings down the system, but it's got to be done in the right way. It's got to be looked at in the right way. And people have to be very, very careful of wanting their ideas to be true and losing their objectivity in the process. You've got to remain objective through the whole thing. You know, the human awakening, as I said, it's been good to see so many people becoming aware of how bad the system is and the fact that there's something wrong. But people are still only half awake. They're not awake enough to their own power. And they're not awake enough to really want to look behind the veil in most cases. I mean, some people are, but many people simply don't want to look behind that veil. And they don't want to implement the solution because the solution requires self-application. You know, people have to get involved themselves. They have to realize that there is no one coming to save them. I mean, this is what we've tried to do with the Full Circle Project, is provide the mechanism for people to get involved on the ground. Find people in your area that want to be involved and link up with them and see what you can achieve. Identify an issue in your local area that you believe you can tackle and find a way to tackle it. But get a support group around you to do it. You know, link up with people. Become cooperative with people rather than competitive with people. You know, that's what Full Circle is all about. It's about creating support groups. It's about lighting grass fires all around the earth. But people have to get involved to do that. No one can lead you to safety. You have to do it yourself. Everybody has to do it themselves. And, you know, you've got to step back and look at all of this stuff. And Pizzagate, it's so interesting and it's so revealing, but it's also being so micromanaged. And it's almost too easy. It's almost too much of an easy fix. You know, it's like what we've wanted all along. It's just something like this to be revealed. But then they introduce the pizza store. They introduce certain little bits of misinformation around the pizza store, like claiming that there's an underground room and all this sort of stuff, before they know it. You know, you have to understand that it's going to take a while to really open this whole thing up. And in the last 2 weeks, if that underground room was there, they could have filled it in by now. I mean, all of these things can be done, folks, and people have to watch how they're being played. You know, like I said, folks, the awakening has been there, but it hasn't been as much as I want to see. It hasn't been a real eye-opener. It hasn't been an epiphany. It hasn't been where people suddenly go, aha, and they see the mechanism, and they see the way out of the mechanism. They see the way out of the mechanism is by simple cooperation, simple non-compliance to the system. You know, stop feeding it. Stop feeding the beast. Walk away. Stop feeding it, and it will die. But people don't believe they can stop feeding it. because of rules that are written down on paper, because of word magic, because of the spells that they're subject to, and their need to go out there and collect paper in order to pay to be alive. Yeah, it's the most difficult thing for many people is when they see the system, they just go, oh my God, it's so big and so vast. How do we ever find a way out of it? You know, and really it's just getting people to look up from their books, look up from their computer screens, look up at the sky, just tear themselves away from their work for a moment and just look around them. The order followers have to do this, but they're so caught up in their rules, they're so caught up in their regulations, and they feel so important for enforcing someone else's parameters on other people because they've had all their own power removed. It's a difficult thing. It's a really, really difficult obstacle to overcome. People's belief that they must follow orders, people's belief that they must obey the dictates of others, even if those dictates cause them to step outside of their moral compass. This is such a big hurdle to overcome. You know, I truly believe that the best way you can overcome it is to lead by example in all that you do. And that's why I live my life the way I do. And folks, look, I don't always get it right. I lash out at people. I say the wrong things sometimes, but I try to help everybody that I come into contact with. I try to not profit from people, and I try to reach out to people and help them at every opportunity that I can. Sometimes it's a little difficult. Sometimes it's a little taxing. Sometimes spirit will push you to your limits in order to do so. But when something feels right, you know, you've just got to do it. And that's the way I've tried to live my life. I've tried to live my life in a state of service to creation. Not just service to myself, but service to everybody. But not neglecting myself along the way. I have to serve myself, but not at the expense of others. And we can all do that. You know, but I think the awakening will come. I just wonder how much more people will need to be pushed before they realize that they have the power themselves. It doesn't help pointing the finger at the pizza shop. Doesn't help pointing the finger at Hillary Clinton and expecting Donald Trump to come and save you. None of this stuff helps. It's about discovering your own personal power and facing the shadow that exists in the world and realizing that through standing in your own personal power, you have the ability to overcome this shadow. You know, if we were to work together cooperatively and simply stand up and call it, we have the ability to change everything. We really do. That's the frustrating part for me, is seeing just how easy it would be for us to change the world and seeing just how nervous or scared people are of actually stepping into that and actually doing it. Now, people are very, very apprehensive of stepping into their power. They're very, very nervous of putting their head up and calling things out for the way they see them. They're really nervous of being anything that may be considered to be politically incorrect. But as I've often said, folks, political correctness is a form of tyranny. Political correctness is mind control. Political correctness teaches you to constrain your own thoughts and to not say what you really believe and what you really feel. Political correctness should be thrown in the dustbin with all of the other stuff this government creates. Political correctness is simply people believing that they can control what comes out of other people's mouths because they believe it may be offensive to someone. Well, what about this entire system, folks? What about the fact that we're kept in a state of debt slavery and we're fighting wars and we're killing millions of people? To me, I find that offensive. And I find it even more offensive that people are willing to allow themselves to be constrained by other people's dictates in order to allow these types of offenses to continue. I think it's about time we did something about it. But folks, I think we've reached the end of the show here today, so I'm going to have to leave it there for now. It's a pleasure to come and speak to you every week. Thank you to anybody who supports the website. Thank you to anybody who contributes to the Patreon account. I really do need your support, folks, especially after the last couple of months and everything that I've just been through. I really do need some money to be put back into the kitty. So anybody who can make a contribution at the moment, it would be most appreciated. That is it for me, folks. I have to say goodbye for now. I'll look forward to coming and speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh, my friends, in Lakesh.